So we're tuning in for our fourth message in a seven-part series called Flourish that we started the week after Easter. And Flourish is really about flourishing in your personal relationship with Christ. Now in a time when, you know, you can't really go to church and meet with people, when even our home groups for this time are cancelled, and you can't have those people close, and so you can't really really let other people take you to God. You fall back more on your own personal discipline of meeting with God, of opening Scripture, of taking time to pray. I believe it's so important that we focus on that for a little bit. How can I flourish in this time in my personal relationship with God? And I personally think it would be such a waste if you go through this whole thing, all of these weeks, all of these months, with so many restrictions on community, on gathering, on connecting with other people. It would be such a waste, all of this, if it doesn't bring you closer to God. And so really, that's my heart for you. That's the heart of this message series, is I want to help you to connect with God in a more intimate way, in a more personal way, and see you flourish in your relationship with Him. So last week, we talked about intimate personal prayer. I call it uncensored prayer, because I believe that we shouldn't censor ourselves when we meet with God. He wants to know us. He wants to connect with us just the way that we are. And we can just bring it all to Him, like David did. David didn't really censor his words when he met with God, when he prayed, and like we have his prayer journal in the Psalms. But he just every raw emotion he just brought to God. So if you haven't seen that message yet, then turn it to on our YouTube channel. You can watch the video there from last week. But today we're going to talk about a different type of prayer, and that's intercession prayer. And typically intercession is prayer for others. So where there's time where we meet with God and we just share with Him how we're doing and what's going on. Intercession is when we approach God sort of on behalf of others, or praying for others. And it's so important that that's part of our prayer lives as well. Now, we have the amazing privilege to actually change the course of history through prayer. It's an amazing privilege and a responsibility that we've been given, that through prayer we participate in God's plans. That through prayer we can see a change in the course of history, and that's just amazing. So tune in wholeheartedly this morning. See, intercession is for some of us, it's a hard thing to do. Some of us are really gifted in intercession, have this passion for intercession, like these people that can always pray, that really understand the power of intercession, as power of spiritual warfare. And they, you know, if it's up to them, we'd have an all-night prayer meeting every week. Now, for some of you, you think like, that would never come there. So for some of us, intercession really is something that's harder to do. We don't really know how and how to approach God. My message this morning is for both of you guys. So it's both for the experienced intercessor and for the beginner, for the newbie in this area. And certainly if you're a new Christian, or you consider yourself to be a very new and unexperienced Christian, intercession is also for you. And my goal this morning is to basically give you a fresh model, a fresh idea of how you can approach this topic and how you can participate in this. And I'm going to do that based on the role of the priests in the Old Testament, the role of the priests in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament times, in the Jewish religion of the times of the Old Testament, priests had this central role in what's going on. They would approach God basically on behalf of the people. They would provide services in the house of God with for the interest of the rest of the people of Israel, with that in mind. So in that sense, it's a little bit like intercession, when we approach God on behalf of other people. The priests will do something similar. And the priests had three main roles. I would summarize them in three words. First is worship. So they would Most of the priests, the Levites, the one of the tribes of Israel was assigned with the role of being the priests, the Levites, and they are the musicians. They would sing and make music in the house of the Lord, and they would worship God. And they would do that basically on behalf of the whole people of Israel. They would worship God. And also in their sacrifices they would bring. So if you'd want to worship God, like the best way in this time, the best way to do that was to bring a sacrifice to God, sacrifice of thankfulness, for example, of just worship. And the priest would slaughter the animal or kind of help you doing that sacrifice. On your behalf, they would bring that sacrifice of worship to God. So that's their first role, is to make sure that that God was worshipped continually. Now, secondly, there's petition. So the priest would also perform sacred rituals, petitioning for the people, kind of asking God for forgiveness on behalf of the people, sometimes on behalf of individuals, sometimes on behalf of the whole people of Israel. And in Leviticus 6, we find this. Just as an example, there's tons of texts about how all these rituals happened and what they meant and all of that. We can't go through all of that. But in Leviticus 6, it says this, as a guilt offering to the Lord, you must bring to the priests your own ram with no defects, or you may buy one of equal value. Through this process, the priests will purify you before the Lord, making you right with him, and you will be forgiven for any of these sins that you have committed. So their service to God in the temple and bringing those sacrifices, they did that, approaching God on behalf of the people. And then lastly, so we've got worship, we've got petition, and then lastly, we've got blessing. One of their main roles was to bless the people. To bless the people. Isn't it an exciting role to have, to be blessing people? They were given, the priests were given authority by God to speak out a blessing over the people. And so in number 6, we find this, the priestly blessing. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, Aaron was the first high priest, he was a Levite. So this is when the whole of the priestly functioning was basically being installed. Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. Just note that last verse. Whenever Aaron and his sons and all of the priests that would come ever. So whenever a priest would say this blessing, use these words, bless the people of Israel in this way, I myself will bless them. So those words of the priest would carry the authority of God. Their words had power because God says, when you bless the people in this way with your words, I will bless them. I will bless them. So they have this assigned authority in their words with that blessing. Now, what you need to know about the priests is that they would approach God on behalf of the people. But actually, the whole of the people of Israel were called to be priests. And the way that this tribe in Israel, the Levites, would do service to God on behalf of the whole people of Israel, the whole of Israel was called to be a kingdom of priests on behalf of all the nations. That was their function. That was their holy calling. And so when God makes a covenant with his people, specifically with Moses, in Exodus 19 we read that Moses climbed to the mountain to appear before God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob, that's Israelites. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples of the earth, for all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel. So the whole of Israel, actually every single Israelite, was called to be a priest. They could approach God on behalf of others. The whole of Israel was supposed to be dedicated to God and petition and to God on behalf of the nations and bless the nations. That was actually the calling of Abraham already in Genesis 12 when he called them from the land of Ur, was it? the Babylonian area, at least, to become this people. God's purpose for them was to be a blessing to all nations. And so that comes back here. Now, this is where it gets important. This is where it becomes really important to you, for your life today. You are a priest as well. Every single believer is called to be a priest. So this calling, this purposing of the people of Israel, that's transferred to Christians in the New Testament. We read that in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So as a Christian, as a believer, as someone that carries the name of Christ, as someone that belongs to him, you have the calling and the purposing of a priest in your family, in your classroom, at your work, in your neighborhood, wherever you are called to be a priest. And you can approach God mainly through intercession on behalf of others, and it has an effect. And so those three main functions of priests, of worship, of petition, and of blessing, I believe that they can serve us as a model for our intercession, for the way that we approach God in our time of prayer. And I hope that this will help you to intercede in a new and fresh way, to approach God on behalf of others in a new and fresh way that will serve you as a model. And so we'll go through these three words, these three concepts again, but then apply it to our lives today and how we can make that part of our intercession life. So first, again, worship. We are all called to worship God with our words and with our actions, with our lives, with everything. Worship attracts the presence of God. That's why we love to worship at our church services and in our online services, because we know that worship attracts the presence of God. God loves to be in a place where he is worshipped, where people recognize that he is king, where we recognize that he is the creator, where we praise him for who he is and for his character, that we describe that and that we speak out to him, that we love him and that we trust him and that we believe in him. But in this way, we can see our continual worship also as intercession. Through worshiping in your house, if your house is a house where God is worshipped, where there's worship music on all the time, where we sing, where we pray, where we worship God with our lives, then your house becomes a place where the presence of God dwells, where the presence of God is. It becomes a house of peace. It becomes also a place in your neighborhood, a sort of sacred place, a place where people feel attracted to, where people know, hey, there's something about that house, there's something about that family that I would like as well, that I would get close, would want to get closer to. So just through worshiping with your songs and filling your house with worship, worshiping through your actions, you become a sacred place in your neighborhood. Wouldn't it be great if all of our houses and apartments and rooms would be sacred places in our neighborhoods that people feel attracted to? And then secondly, worship is also a great way to start your time of intercession, because when we praise God for who he is, we remind ourselves that the God that we're praying to for whatever we're going to pray for, that he is greater than the problem or the issue that we're praying for, and that he is able to make that happen. So it's a great time to start your time of intercession, worship. Right, and secondly, we've got petition. And petitioning is really the way we understand intercession most of the time. It's approaching God on behalf of others. We're praying for something. We're praying for a healing or for providence. Or we're praying for, I mean, whatever it is. We're praying for others and we're approaching God. So basically that's petitioning. Now, the priests would bring sacrifice to God to ask for forgiveness for the people. Now, we don't need to do this anymore. Why? Because we've got a great high priest, and that's Jesus Christ, and he has provided forgiveness for everyone through his sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself already. So that's done. So we don't need to sacrifice anymore, of course, to receive forgiveness. And so that's happened, but we can still approach God on behalf of others and pray for things. So here in Hebrews 4, we read this. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So this is the thing. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you are now invited into the throne room of God to boldly, without any hesitation, approach that throne of grace and pray and petition for others. Pray for the things that are going on in their lives of people that are dear to you, for a sickness or for a big need or for a big desire. We can approach God boldly and pray for those things. And I even believe that God has left a space open in his plans for us to fill that space with prayer. This is a great privilege. This is a great responsibility that we have. And the thing is that we don't have to guess what the will of God is. Now, in some ways, the will of God or the way that he operates in this world is mysterious and is beyond our understanding. I mean, really, also this time, is we know that God is in control, but what is happening and why is he permitting this to happen? And we don't understand. We don't have to understand. That's not the point. There's some things that are beyond our understanding. But generally, we understand what the will of God is. It is his will that people get saved. It is his will that people get healed. And it is his will that people are set free, that they are restored to the purpose that he has for them. Justice is his will. Peace is his will. We don't have to guess. So we can freely pray for these things and know that it is in line with his will. And we can boldly approach the throne of grace with these things in mind. But don't pass on that invitation to pray for others, to intercede, to focus God's attention on certain people with a certain need. It's such a mystery how all of that works. And, you know, if we wouldn't pray, then wouldn't God act? And why? And how does it work? And see, these are things that are beyond our understanding. But all that we know is that prayer is powerful. And that when we pray, God acts in some way. And more than he does when we don't pray. So these are some of the things that we know. And therefore, I would say, don't pass on the invitation to pray and to pray boldly and to keep on approaching the throne of grace. See, Jesus even says, always pray and never give up. Never give up. And he compares prayer or sort of ongoing prayer to a woman that needs justice and keeps on sort of nagging an unjust just. Now, God is just, so we don't have to sort of see our petitioning as nagging him, as sort of bullying him into doing something or holding our breath until he acts. It's not like that. It's he receives our petitioning as requests from his children. He loves it when we pray. He loves it when we approach him boldly, pray in line with his will. So don't pass on this invitation. Now, lastly, there's blessing. We have worship, we have petition, and something that we so often forget is blessing. See, something, in our intercession, many of us think that it's a one direction type of prayer, that it's us approaching the throne of grace and that we ask God to act in the lives of other people. And what I just explained, that's absolutely part of it. There's another side of this. I want to also turn that around. There's also another direction in intercession prayer. Ephesians 2 says that, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ Jesus has seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Our prayers are not only supposed to go in the direction of the throne. We are actually in that throne room with Christ, and we can also pray blessing to the world. We have been given authority. We have been given a position together with Jesus Christ, and we can also sort of pray from the throne to the world in a form of a blessing. So this is not where it is petitioning, "Lord, will you please do this?" Here it is. You speak out blessing, and your words carry authority. So we're not invited only to pray to the throne, but also from the throne. You are a priest, and therefore God calls you to bless the people around you, to bless the people in your family, to bless the people in your neighborhood, to bless the people in your classroom, to bless the people at your workplace, wherever you are during the day, to bless people around you. You have an assigned authority. Your words carry that power. He calls you to bless people with your words. And this understanding, and actually I've recorded another interview video, and we'll post that on YouTube this Wednesday. And it's an interview that I've recorded with Menno Helmes, who's the national director of Vineyard Benelux. When he first told me about this, about praying to the throne and about praying from the throne, it really changed the way that I intercede. And so every day I pray a blessing prayer for Anya, for my wife, for Benta, my daughter. I pray a blessing now over the people in my neighborhood. I pray a blessing over leaders in our church. I do that regularly, just go through the whole list and by name, bless people. Because I believe that God has given me an authority in my words, and that when I bless them, he himself will bless them. And therefore, I want to invite you to make this a habit in your daily life, in your daily prayer life as well, to think in these different ways about prayer, to worship God and to see your worship as intercession. We're approaching God also as Vineyard Groningen, as all the churches combined in Groningen. We are praising God, and we're asking his presence to come down, not only in our churches, not only in our lives, but in the whole city. So this worship is intercession. That's why, you know, when we get to meet again, we'll have worship and prayer nights again. It's such a great combination to worship and to pray, sort of to invite heaven to come down and do something new, to do something fresh. So let petition be part of your daily prayer life. Pray, keep a list of people to pray for, and just pray for them every day. And you can't, like, make it specific. I will get to a whole series on prayer again one day. I can't give you all the tips that I have in this short message. But pray for some people every day. Intercede for them. And bless the people around you. Bless the people. Start with blessing the people in your family, because you've been given an authority there to bless. Your words carry power. So bless the people in your family every day. Find words to bless them. I use the same words every day. It's not very original, but it's powerful. So bless the people around you. Make a difference in this way. Because God says, whenever you bless the people around you, I myself will bless them. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray. I want to invite the worship team again, and we'll actually sing that song. There's a new song out that's sang around the world. Many videos recorded with people on many screens singing that together. Really beautiful. It's called The Blessing, and it's basically a combination of several blessings in the Old Testament, among which is this priestly blessing that I prayed, that I read before. and that's put on in song. And so we'll sing that together. And when we'll sing that together, I want to ask you to sing that wholeheartedly, to pray that over your family, to keep people in mind that you want to bless, and to understand that when you do this, God will come with his blessing. That your words, your song carries that authority. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, through this message that you will encourage our prayer lives. Lord, that we'll step into intercession more through worship, through petitioning, and through blessing. That will make a difference. That our prayers will change the course of lives of the people around you, around us. That our prayers, that we'll understand that our prayers have the power to change the course of history even. Lord, make our prayers powerful. That when we end them with an amen, with a yes, with a let it be so, that we know that we've prayed the best prayer that we could pray. That we know that we've prayed wholeheartedly. That we know that we've prayed full of faith. Holy Spirit, will you work in us that we can pray with this full confidence that when we pray that you hear us, that when we bless, that you are blessing people. Lord, will you make us people of prayer? Will you make us a church of prayer? Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.